And good evening to those of you who are listening to Waiheke Radio on this fine time to listen to Waiheke Radio. And I'll tell you, it is a very fine time indeed to be listening to Waiheke Radio, because you are about to hear 1001 songs, the great songs of all time, and the artists, the stories, and the secrets behind them, as selected by the Australian music journalist Toby Cresswell. To be perfectly honest, you're not going to hear all 1001 of them tonight. I mean, if you have been listening or have listened to any of the previous shows in this series, you'll know that I'll probably get through about 7 or 8 songs tonight, and the rest of them will have already been played, or I will play later. Anyway, I will play you some songs, and they're quite good, so stick around. They are selected by this man called Toby Cresswell, who is the Australian music journalist who wrote this book, because he said, so this is a book of 1001 songs. There is no number one. There is no canon. Each song has its good points and its bad points. Some of them will enrich your life and broaden your palate, and some of these songs are terrible. But I'm just presenting this wonderful palette of... Oh, yes, he's used the word palette before. Yes, well, anyway, I'm Seth Titley-Jones, and I'm going to be taking you through some of those songs tonight. And the first one of which I have for you tonight is Ron Wood and I Can Feel the Fire, and I'm going to read you a little blurb about it at the moment. One of the design flaws in the new desk layout up here at the White House is where, of course, our new radio station, where we have moved at the weekend to up at the White House here, and that design flaw is that I now have to go all the way over here to see my book, and instead of... I can't really complain, because, well, I can complain, but only to me, because I was up here on Saturday morning with the best of them, coiling leads and plugging things in and generally making a pillock of myself at the radio. So you're a very naughty Seth for not considering that possibility that somebody, maybe even yourself, might need to put a book in front of them and use the computer and the desk simultaneously. But however, having said that, enough talking to myself, on with the music of 1001 songs, and this is Ron Wood and I Can Feel the Fire. The real title of this album should have been I've Got My Own Album to Do, and it's better than what my superstar mates are doing. Oh, I see, because Ron Wood's I Can Feel the Fire is off his 1974 album I've Got My Own Album to Do. But Toby Cresswell obviously thinks that it's better than what Ron Wood's superstar mates are doing, presumably the other members of the Rolling Stones. Anyway, what does he have to say? He says that Ron Wood is the most gregarious man in British rock, and his first solo album features the Rolling Stones and George Harrison and David Bowie, although David Bowie is uncredited, and Rod Stewart and the Faces, aided by some of the best sidemen of the era. Unlike so many similar albums, Wood's solo venture sounds like a house party. The groove, mostly from Andy Newmark and Willie Weeks, is pretty much unstoppable, especially on tracks like the opener I Can Feel the Fire, with Jagger and Richards helping out. This is arguably the last great Rolling Stones cut, and on top of this is layered the work of the cream of British rock. The sessions in the early spring of 1974 at Wood's Richmond House occurred just as the British invasion of artists ran out of steam, and the album sounds like the going away party. Their egos, including George Harrison, Rod Stewart and Paul McCartney, had been checked at the door, and the rhythm section is left to shine. If Wood had been more than a thin and rasping voice, perhaps this track might have been a hit. But that would have destroyed the bonhomie. Not quite sure what that word means. Maybe I should look it up. While I'm doing that, however, I'll leave you to listen to Ron Wood and I Can Feel the Fire. We'll be right back. I can feel the fire there with Ron Wood from 1974 here on Waiheke Radio 88.3 and 107.4 FM. You can also hear us live streaming on www.waihikiradio.org.nz. And right now, if you were to tune in, which theoretically you already have done, because that's how you can hear me already now, that is that you are listening to 1001 Songs, the great songs of all time, and the artists, the stories, and the secrets behind them. I can't help pointing out every time I slay that slogan that I do slightly disagree with it, but nevertheless, this is a very good collection of songs. The next one in this collection of songs is David Crosby, and What Are Their Names? David Crosby's talent is so fleeting that its moments in full flight are absolute treasures. Crosby had been a founding bird and later of Crosby, Stills and Nash and Young, and where his harmonic sense was so subtle it has really been given its due, but it has lifted both of these enterprises to a higher level. Crosby's songs tend to be the weird, political, and edgy ones that put the backbone into the platitudes of his comrades. Crosby's other talents is his affability. His friends were legion, and many of them dropped by the session for the first album. Jefferson Airplane's Jack Cassidy, Grace Slick, David Freeberg, Paul Kantmer, Jorma Kaukonen, The Grateful Dead's Jerry Garcia, Mickey Hart, Bill Kreutzmann, Phil Leish, and Santana's Greg Rowley, Michael Shrive, along with the Joni Mitchell, Graham Nash, and Neil Young, all appear on these songs, which are about as free form as American rock has ever been. They're mysterious tracks, unlike anything before or since. At the time of recording, Crosby was accelerating the drug binge that dominated the first half of his life. His girlfriend, Christine Hinton, had been killed in a car crash. Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young were imploding under their own egos. The studio was almost the only place that I could function, Crosby told Mojo. So I would go out there every night, and my friends would come, and a lot of really wonderful people would just show up, and I would start a song, and whoever came that night would join in. Sometimes it made magic, and sometimes it made mud. What Are Their Names starts out very clearly as a guitar duel between Jerry Garcia and Neil Young, both at the height of their powers and feeding off each other, until the vocal comes with an acidic taunt at the establishment with help from Grace Slick. But on this record, Crosby filled the hippie dream of musicians getting together, but only Crosby could put it off, and we can hear it here in David Crosby with What Are Their Names. Thank you. David Crosby, along with a variety of other stars of the music scene of the time, from Crosby's album If I Could Only Remember My Name from 1971. I mean, the writing credit, for instance, here goes to David Crosby, Jerry Garcia, Phil Leish, Michael Shrive, and Neil Young. So, and anyway, that's what it was I was about to tell you, and that was that Bonhomme, and how that it says an affable and approachable disposition. Remember when we were talking about Ron Wood, and I found a word that I didn't quite work out the meaning of, and it's borrowed from the French, bonhomme, bon meaning a good, and homme meaning man, so it's a good-natured man, or a pleasant, friendly, good-natured manner, or a friendly atmosphere. Right, put that into context. Anyway, this next up, we've got the Beatles and Taxman. Harrison wrote in his autobiography, because, of course, he wrote Taxman, George Harrison, that's what he did. He wrote the Taxman for the album Revolver. Anyway, Harrison wrote in his autobiography, Taxman was when I realised that even though we'd started earning money, we'd actually were giving most of it away in taxes. The song was not entirely serious, with delightful backing vocals and name-checking Mr. Wilson and Mr. Health, the leaders of the Labour and Tory parties at the time. It was clearly a subject dear to the Beatles' hearts, given that they were paying up to 90% of their earnings to the Internal Revenue. Taxman opens Revolver, the Beatles' most mature and complex to date, and arguably the best overall disc. Starr suggested the album be titled after Geography, because the latest Rolling Stones album was called Aftermath. Harrison has a killer riff here, played by Paul McCartney, over a soul over a tough soul rhythm pattern, and the record has a live feel that would soon disappear from the Beatles. Perhaps not Harrison's most enduring lyric, but the riff certainly is durable. The Jam copped it wholesale 15 years later, and this is the Beatles and Taxman.
1, 2, 3, 4 1, 2
Let me tell you how it will. One for you, 19 for me. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. Should 5% appear too small?
My apologies, it was Mr. Heath, not Mr. Health, in that Taxman by the Beatles here on Waiheke Radio, where you will be listening to us, I am sure, on 88.3 or 107.4 FM or over the internet at waihekeradio.org.nz. At any rate, wherever you're listening to me, you will be listening to me, Seth Titley Jones, here on 1001 Songs, the great songs of all time, is selected by Toby Cresswell. And next up on the list of songs that I have for you tonight, there is Frank Zappa and Willie the Pimp. By the late 60s, Frank Zappa realized he wasn't going to be taken seriously by the art establishment, so he sought refuge in that other academy for rockers, jazz. Having outgrown the Mothers of Invention, Zappa called in some top-line studio players plus multi-instrumentalist Mother of Invention Ian Underwood, two violinists, Don Sugarcane Harris and Jean-Luc Ponty, and John Guerin on drums. The sessions in the autumn of 1969 were remarkably free. Zappa relaxed into his guitar playing, his chief talent, and apologetic jokes or scatology do not undercut the songs. The album's high point is the reunification of Zappa and his school chum Captain Beefheart on Willie the Pimp, and its singing solo from Zappa where the jazz meets the blues. Didn't have much to say about that one, did he? At any rate, here's Frank Zappa with Willie the Pimp.
Oh, We'll be right back.
Willy the Pimp by Frank Zappa. Frank Zappa, ladies and gentlemen, from 1970, here on 1001 Songs with me, Seth Tetley Jones. Neil Young. We've just heard from Neil Young, actually, quite recently. Though not under his, though not under a song credited specifically to him. However, now we do have such a song, and that is Neil Young and The Needle and the Damage Done, which is from his 1972 album Harvest. Neil Young once tellingly introduced the song on stage with the speech. This is a serious song, and I'd like to do about some people you know, some people I know, and some people that neither one of us knows. It's about heroin addiction. Somewhere in the universe is probably a place where all great art is that didn't get out. A museum of incredible lost art that didn't get out of, that didn't get out because of heroin. Neil Young is rarely this blunt. The song is one of the most famous anti-heroin songs because it's so simple and so direct. It was written for Crazy Horse guitarist Danny Whitten, who was a heroin addict that would soon be dead. With the escalation of the Vietnam War in the late 60s and early 70s, where GIs returned from Southeast Asia, heroin became increasingly commonplace in American cities. Shortly before the song went into Young's live repertoire, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, and guitarist Al Wilson died from heroin overdoses. Then Jimi Hendrix died from an overdose of drugs. The number of junkies around the music business was increasing rapidly. This track was recorded live and has that stark beauty. Young was not used to being so prosaic in his lyrics, but when he does, he's very forceful. And this is Neil Young and The Needle and the Damage Done.
I caught you knocking at my cellar door. I love you, baby, can I have some more? Ooh, the damage done. I hit the city and I lost my band. I watched the needle take another man. Gone, gone, the damage done. Song because I love the man. I know that some of you don't understand. Milk blood to keep from running out. I've seen the needle and the damage done. A little part of it in everyone. But every junkie's like a setting sun.
Neil Young, The Needle and the Damage Done, here on Waiheke Radio 88.3 and 107.4 FM, with me, Seth Tetley Jones, and we've got the Jim Carroll Band, People Who Died. Carroll was a downtown hipster poet in the late 60s and early 70s, living for a time with fellow poet Patti Smith. His first recorded performance is on the Velvet Underground's Max's Kansas City, where he is overheard asking Lou Reed for drugs. Carroll's poetry, his memories of Catholic boyhood, brought him into contact with Allen Ginsberg and the Beat Poets, as well as the Andy Warhol's factory scene. He left New York in the mid-70s to kick his heroin habit, and in the meantime, his first novel, The Basketball Diaries, which was a hit. At Patti Smith's urging, Carroll turned his hand at music. His one classic track was People Who Died. In fact, The Basketball Diaries set to music. I probably wouldn't have become involved with rock and roll if it hadn't been for my friend Earl McGrath, who at that time was president of Rolling Stones Records, Carroll recalled. He was the one who played this $100 demo tape I had made to Keith Richards of the Stones. Earl understood things in literary terms, and obviously most people in the recording business didn't. Originally, when I signed, it was with the Stones label, and the idea was for Keith to produce the first album, Catholic Boy. You know, it was totally like strangeness to me, because I had just come back to New York to make a paperback deal for the Basketball Diaries, and I'd been in this long recluse period in California where the highlight of my day was walking the dog down to the post office. People Who Died featured Lenny Kaye from the Patti Smith Group on what is a genuinely great piece of power pop. It's funny in a black way, like a Ramones song, only sweeter. A lot of kids I graduated with from Catholic grammar school went to Vietnam, Carroll told Interview magazine. 40 kids graduated with me, and 11 of them died there. It's an incredible percentage. Only, also, a lot of my friends from when I was young died, or went to jail, or got into drugs and died. I only got into drugs at the same time, and fortunately, this song is about that. It's like an edgy, but it's not. It's like an elegy, but it's not sentimental. It just lists the people who died, how they died, how old they were, and that's all. It's really up. The Jim Carroll Band, People Who Died.
Janice is the clue, he was 12 years old. Fell from the roof on East 29. Kathy was 11 when she pulled the plug. 26 reds and a bottle of wine. Bobby got leukemia, 14 years old. He looked like 55 when he died. He was a friend of mine. Georgie let the gimmicks go rotten, so they died of hepatitis in Upper Manhattan. Sly in Vietnam, bullet in the head. Bobby OD'd on Drano on the night that he was wed. They were two more friends of mine, two more friends that died. From a hotel room, Bobby hung himself from a cell in the tombs. Judy jumped in front of a subway train. Eddie got split in the jugular vein. And Eddie, I miss you more than all the others, and I salute you, brother. Tony thought that his rage was just some goof, but Herbie sure gave Tony some vision proof. And Herbie said, Tony, can you fly? But Tony couldn't fly. Tony died.
Those people who died. busted on a narco rap. He beat the rap by ratting on some bikers. He said, hey, I know it's dangerous, but it sure beats Rikers. But the next day, he got hauled by the very same biker. He was 12 years old, fell from the roof on East 29. Kathy was 11 when she pulled the plug on 26 reds and a bottle of wine. Bobby got leukemia, 14 years old, looked like 65 when he died. Georgie let the gimmicks go rotten. It died of hepatitis in Upper Manhattan. Sly in Vietnam took a bullet in the head. Bobby OD'd on Drano on the night that he was wet. They were two more friends of mine. I miss them. They died. Dried up from a hotel room. Bobby hung himself from a cell in the tubes. Judy turned in front of the subway train. And Eddie got slit in the jugular vein. Eddie, I miss you more than all the others. This song is for you, my brother.
The Jim Carroll Band with People Who Died here on Waiheke Radio 88.3 and 107.4 FM. www.waihekeradio.org.nz. Johnny Thunders, You Can't Put Your Arms Around a Memory. Johnny Thunders, former guitarist of the New York Dolls and the Heartbreakers, found himself living in the life of a slightly shopworn messiah in punk rock London. The new generation of punks worshipped the Dolls and the Heartbreakers. The pint-sized New Yorker had credibility, charisma, and a world-beating heroin habit. Not about heroin tonight, I forgot to say. Thunder's life had two poles, getting stoned and playing guitar. Usually he combined them. Following the demise of the Heartbreakers, Thunders found himself in the studio with no shortage of collaborators. The only ones, Steve Marriott, Phil Lynott, Chrissy Hynde, a couple of the Sex Pistols. Over 3 weeks, he bashed out the best record of his life, and certainly the best sounding record he ever made. Producer Steve Lillywhite captured the sessions that were clearly loose and spontaneous, but he recorded them beautifully and unobtrusively. "My biggest problem," said the producer, "was keeping him awake, but just when you think he was dead, he'd get out like a shot into a blinding solo." So Alone is a perfect rock album. Serendipity's great loose playing and a zen feel. The key song, however, is Thunder's lament for as a junkie. You Can't is a wonderful You Can't Put Your Arms Around a Memory is a wonderful tough song about bittersweetness of acceptance. You listen to the song and you can hear Thunders drift into the moment, just allowing himself to be honest. It's a small moment, but it's a perfect one. In Johnny Thunders, and You Can't Put Your Arms Around a Memory.
It's called You Can't Put Your Arms Around a Memory.
It doesn't pay to try. All the smart boys know why. It doesn't mean I didn't try. I just never know why. It's the cold and all alone. Baby, you're not at home. And when I'm home, big deal, I'm still alive. It's the restless I am. Beat my head against a pole. Try to knock some sense down in my bone. And even the back of the shell, the scars are so old. And when they go, they let you know. You can't put your arm around a memory. You can't put your arm around a memory. You can't put your arm around a memory. Don't try. Don't try. You're just a bastard kid. You got no name. Cause you're living with me. We're one and the same. And even though they don't show, the scars are so old. And when they go, they let you know. Okay, you can't put your arm around a memory. You can't put your arm around a memory. You can't put your arm around a memory. Don't try. But don't try. You can't put your arm around a memory. You can't put your arm around a memory. You can't put your arm around a memory. Don't try.
Thank you. Good night. Have a good time at this place. You deserve it. Thank you, children of a lesser God.
I'm not quite sure what that was at the very end there, but most of that was Johnny Thunders with You Can't Put Your Arms Around a Memory. Now, we're coming closer and closer and closer to the end of another 1001 songs with me, Seth Tetley Jones. But we do at least have time for one or two more things here on Waiheke Radio 88.3 and 107.4 FM before I sign off. Bob Dylan, and I Threw It All Away, is from his album Nashville Skyline. In 1969, Dennis Hopper and Peter Fonda made Easy Rider, a film about two young freaks riding through the American South on motorcycles. The film ends when rednecks shoot Hopper as he's riding down the highway and letting his freak flag fly. Easy Rider was not far off the mark in the way that the northern long hairs were looked upon by the good old boys. In that same atmosphere, Bob Dylan's Nashville Skyline album, where the leader of the 60s freak show went to Nashville to make a country album, left many perplexed on both sides of the generation gap. Nashville Skyline was yet another side of Dylan, no longer obscure in the lyrics, neither protesting nor howling, but writing straightforward classic country and western songs. The first song was a duet with Johnny Cash, saying so much for the generation gap. There was another clue on the cover where Dylan posed in parody to a rambling Jack Elliott album cover. Dylan's voice was too different. The raspy, sometimes whining voice he made famous was replaced with a croon. According to old friends, this was Dylan's real voice before he had started mimicking Woody Guthrie. Dylan, too, said of Nashville's skyline, "The songs reflect more of the inner me than the songs of the past. They're more to my taste than, say, John Wesley Harding." "I Threw It All Away" is the most elegant of songs on the Nashville skyline. Given that it was one of the happiest periods of Dylan's life, the desolate regret for lost love is unlikely to be particularly autobiographical. Understated, gentle and forlorn, the song is pure craftsmanship. This Bob Dylan song is called "I Threw It All Away." And it's by Bob Dylan. I'm not sure if I already said that.
I once held her in my arms. She said she would always stay. But I was cruel, I treated her like a fool. I threw it all away. Once I hit mountains in the palm of my hand, and rivers that ran through every day. That must have been mad. I never knew what I had until I threw it all away. Love is all I am. It makes the world go round. Love and only love, it can't be denied. No matter what you think about it, you just won't be able to do without it. Take a tip from one who's tried. So if you find someone who gives you all of the love, take it to your heart, don't let it stray. Oh, one thing for certain, you will surely be a hurting if you throw it all away. If you throw it all away.
That was Bob Dylan, and "I Threw It All Away." You've been listening to 1001 Songs, the great songs of all time, and the artists, the stories, and the secrets behind them. These songs were selected by the Australian music journalist Toby Cresswell, and they were presented on Waiheke Radio 88.3 and 107.4 FM by me, your host, Seth Tetley-Jones. This show will be repeated on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And also, you can find it at www.waihikiradio.org.nz, where you can also find our live streaming, and you can find little podcasts and things. You can find this show, this very show, right now. Well, in a few minutes' time, you'll be able to find it on demand on that website. But until 8 o'clock next Monday evening, except for my repeat, on Saturday afternoon at 2, I will say goodbye.